Welcome to From the Front Porch, a conversational podcast about books, small business, and life in the South. To suggest craft in the making of sacred text disturbs some people, as if the Holy Spirit would never descend to the strategies of nuance and emphasis that heighten the intelligibility of a story. Marilyn Robinson, Reading Genesis. I'm Annie Jones, owner of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in beautiful downtown Thomasville, Georgia. Today, I'm joined by Bookshelf online sales manager Erin to give you a rundown of our favorite new books releasing in March. If you are a new or new-ish listener, you might not realize that From the Front Porch is a production of The Bookshelf, a small, independently owned bookstore in rural South Georgia. By listening to our show and recommending it to friends, you are helping keep our indie bookstore in business. And if you like what you hear, one way you can financially support us is through Patreon. In 2024, we are conquering the classic American novel Lonesome Dove together with monthly recap episodes. For $5 a month, you can access our conversations as well as our monthly porch visits. Those are live Q&As where we talk about everything from pop culture to nail polish to what books you should take on your next vacation. To learn more about our Patreon tiers and benefits, just visit patreon.com/from the front porch. In March, we are doing a movie book club with our $20 tier patrons, and we're going to be watching Emma, the 2020 adaptation, which I'm very excited about. So lots of fun stuff happening on Patreon. I'd love for you to join us there. Now, back to the show. Hi, Erin.
Hi there.
Hello. Welcome back.
Always love these episodes. No, I can't. I'm not ready. I am ready for these books to be here, but I'm not ready for March to be here quite yet.
I'm really not. I when I was reading the things that I had written for myself, I was like, March?
Yeah.
Are we serious?
Like, right.
Is it time?
And January dragged by. February is flying by.
Yeah.
So for better,
they've both been very they've both been very mixed bag months for me on a personal and professional level. It just feels like, yeah, the bookshelf is doing well. We've had a really good winter.
Absolutely.
But we've been busy, like maybe even busier than I anticipated. I feel like I say that every winter. But we've done a lot of events. We have a reader retreat coming up in March that we're all gearing up for. We're designing March Madness merch. That's what Erin and I were talking about before we started recording. So anyway, there's a lot of fun stuff coming up, but it does feel like we blinked and the first 2 months of the year are over.
Yes.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. Okay, before we get started, if you are new to these episodes, first of all, I should say you typically hear Olivia on these episodes, and she is out this week. So we miss you, Olivia, but she will be back with us in April.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's hard for you to say. Yeah. Great. Can't wait. But as we go through these March new releases, you can browse these selections on our website, thanks to Erin. So just go to bookshelfthomasville.com. And if you type in episode 467 into the search bar, you can see all of today's books listed there. They're ready for you to pre-order or purchase. And you can always use the code NEWRELEASEPLEASE at checkout to get 10% off your order of these new release titles. So as you're listening to us, if a book catches your fancy, strikes your fancy, whatever, if one of them appeals to you, you can go to bookshelfthomasville.com and pre-order or purchase and get 10% off. Erin, I do have a question. So for me, February was like almost relentless in the books that we're releasing. Like, I just felt like so many good quality books spanning multiple genres. I will be honest, March was harder for me. I do not know if that is the case for you. Maybe I'm the outlier.
I don't think it was for me. And again, I think we talked about this yesterday in the store, that a lot of these books I read back in January. So
that's right.
For me, it felt like, for me, and I don't know if you remember, if people follow me on Instagram on my personal account, I always post book reviews. And I think I read like 12 books in like 7 days. Like, it just, I was just going through them, and they were all, you know, really, really good books. And these are some of these books. And so, but I do feel like at least for the first maybe couple of weeks of March, there's going to be some fantastic new releases, but February has been an onslaught of good books. We cannot keep up with them.
Yeah. And it wasn't just initially, at least it feels like typically, and maybe publishers have changed their rhythms, but typically that first Tuesday of the month is the biggest. But even when I was working on this podcast episode and then preparing for our spring literary lunch and our spring literary first look and trying to get titles. And I just noticed lots of good books publishing middle of the month, end of the month. Mm-hmm. Like, and I do wonder if publishers have realized, oh, we can space these out.
Right. We should space these out. For the sanity of booksellers everywhere.
Yeah. And so anyway, that is one thing I did notice was that it used to be when we did these episodes, like all of the books I was talking about would release on the first Tuesday. But instead, a lot of these are kind of spread out throughout the month, which is just interesting. It'll be interesting to see if that pattern holds the rest of the year.
Trend. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of which, my first book releases on March 12th. It is How to Walk into a Room by Emily P. Freeman. If you are not familiar with Emily, she is the host of the Next Right Thing podcast, which I am convinced is one of the most soothing podcasts currently available.
That's like what her I've heard. Voice
is just so soothing. I don't listen every week, but when I listen, it like immediately lowers my blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Like it just immediately makes me feel like, oh. And her podcast is one of those where even if I don't listen every week, I can kind of scroll back and find an episode that relates to whatever I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Like, and so you don't necessarily have to listen in some kind of chronological order. You can kind of listen. They're evergreen, her episodes, I think. So anyway, so it's a great podcast, the Next Right Thing podcast, but this is her new book. So her book that came out a few years ago was prompted by the podcast. It's called The Next Right Thing. And then she did a journal, which I love, called The Next Right Thing Journal. And we've done quite well with both of those more backlist titles. Mm-hmm. And so I thought her new one was worth mentioning. And it is all about how to, I think even the subtitle is The Art of Knowing When to Stay and When to Walk Away. Mm-hmm. And I think it is partially prompted by her own leavings. Like she wound up leaving the church that I think she and her husband were really a part of and that they called home, and they wound up leaving that church. And so I think she investigates that a little bit, but she also approaches all of this from a spiritual director standpoint. So she's a podcast host, but part of the reason her episodes are so soothing is because she is approaching things from a spiritual director standpoint. And so the book kind of follows suit. I have not read this yet. I have not, we didn't get an ARC. I have not pre-read this. But I am going to read this when it comes out, because I think all of us, whether it has to do with church, which I think is partly what Emily is addressing, but it's not the only thing she's addressing. I think she's also talking about like leaving a business or leaving a town, because Emily also was one of the co-owners of the Hope Writers Institution. And she and her dad, I think, wound up selling their parts of the business. And so as somebody who owns a business, I'm always curious. And don't worry, this isn't spoiling my own life or anything. Nobody panic. This is not an announcement. But you do wonder, like, when do you stay and when do you walk away?
Yeah.
And I think everybody approaches that threshold at one point or another, whether it's in their business. I have some dear friends who have gone through divorces.
Yes.
So maybe it's in their marriages. Maybe you have a friendship you're walking away from, or, you know, a job you're leaving or whatever. So I think even if you're not in this season now, eventually we all approach this moment in our lives where we're like, do we stay or do we walk away? And so I think this book is supposed to be kind of a template for that. And I do think it's part memoir and part her personal storytelling, but I think it's also supposed to be helping the rest of us kind of walk through these moments. So it's not a memoir as much as it is maybe a helpful personal growth tool, which is what the Next Right Thing, that's kind of her MO. I think that's how her books kind of are. And so anyway, for anybody standing at a threshold or walking through a door or leaving another room behind, I think this will be really helpful. So this is How to Walk into a Room by Emily P. Freeman. It releases on March 12th.
Mm-hmm. And I did not read her other book, but I'm assuming that her writing is just as soothing as her podcast, in the sense that And that's just who she is as a person. I don't think she comes at things with judgment. She comes at things with like, I've walked through this and let me just share what worked for me.
That's an open hand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I do feel like Olivia's here because I'm about to make a hard right turn to a true crime book.
Okay. Great.
And I have to say, Olivia also really loved this one. And if she were here today, this would probably have been on her list as well. But it's called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. It comes out on March 5th, so it's out already. I actually listened to this one as an audiobook, and I loved it because it does have a plot line where there is a true crime podcast. And so it has chapters that are as if you are listening to that podcast. So
cool.
We have seen other books like this, like Acts of Violet, other books like this, where there is a sort of podcast element to it. And so Olivia and I both talked about this, and we said we kind of had low expectations for this book because we thought, oh, here's another true crime book with a podcast element, right? But we were both so pleasantly surprised by how much we enjoyed this one. So the main character is Lucy. She's a bit of an unreliable narrator because we meet her and you find out that her best friend Savvy was murdered and Lucy was found with Savvy's blood all over her, but Lucy does not remember anything. So obviously Lucy is the main suspect, but they could never get enough evidence, I think, or, you know, in the investigation, she was never charged with anything. And so, but she's lived under the cloud of this suspicion for so long in this small town that they're all from. So when we meet her, she has moved away to try to make a new life, honestly. And because there's this podcast that decides to come and investigate Savvy's murder, this cold case, she is forced to return to her small town. And so we meet her when she has come home. And so she's, you know, staying with her parents. And she's got this, there's a whole host of these sort of, I wouldn't say lovable, but there's a whole host of very interesting side characters. It's just like you would imagine. A bunch of her friends are now adults and they're living in this small town as well, just living their lives. Some of them have gotten married to each other and then divorced. And there's a whole web of like, I used to date that person and now they're with this person. So there's a lot of jealousy and sort of these ties that bind that you would rather not bind when you go to a small town. What I loved about it is that you don't really know who you can trust. I said, again, when you meet Lucy, she has these thoughts in her head about murdering people and ways she can murder people in her head. Mm-hmm. And so at first you think, well, she did it. Like she is, you know, she has mental health issues. She is a psychopath, whatever you think, she has issues. But then as the book goes along, you know, they show you things that you think, okay, maybe she didn't do it. Maybe it was this person, or maybe it was this person. Maybe her best friend was a villain. Maybe her best friend was the hero. You're not sure. And really till the very end. So it kept me listening. It really was just, there's a bit of a will they, won't they with her and the podcast host, who of course is, you know, a young, you know, handsome man.
Sure. Of course. Why not?
It's sort of like, they don't like each other at first because he's there to, you know, to dig up old things and she doesn't appreciate that, but they end up teaming up because she knows she's innocent. She says she's innocent and they want to team up to really prove who did it. And so, it's a murder mystery. Again, there's a bit of a true crime podcast and the character, she has like this grandmother that's lovable and spunky and feisty. So I really enjoyed it. It's called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera.
In the audiobook, is it a multi-voices narrated or does,
There's her and then I think there's a male narrator that does the podcaster voice. And of course, when they have the podcast chapters, there's like music.
That goes along. Yeah.
So it is.
Oh, I might listen to that.
Multidimensional.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I might do that one.
Yeah.
Okay, my next one is the book that you heard quoted at the top of the episode. It is Reading Genesis by Marilyn Robinson. It releases on March 12th. The reason I wanted to mention this one is this was one of my, and still is, one of my most highly anticipated books of the year. I love Marilyn Robinson. I love how she writes. She just has some of the most beautiful characters. If you like Elizabeth Strout, you'll like Marilyn Robinson. part of the reason this was one of my most anticipated books of the year is because I don't know who I heard talking about this, or maybe I just misunderstood all the descriptions I read, but I believed I was getting a fictional retelling of the Book of Genesis. And boy, was I excited. But I'm here to tell you that this is not a fictional retelling of the Book of Genesis. I wanted to start the episode with a quote from this book because I wanted to give people a sense of what this book really is, which is it is nonfiction guiding you through the Book of Genesis. So it's really Marilynne Robinson looking at Genesis almost from a literary criticism angle. And she is a practicing Christian. And so, but she is approaching this through a more layperson lens. She's not a member of some kind of clergy or church leadership, but she obviously is an expert in literary writing. And so this is more of an exegesis almost of the Book of Genesis. Now, here's the good news. This has already received a starred review from Kirkus, which makes my ears perk a little bit. There is a great piece that we'll link to in the show notes that's been published in The Atlantic. I think it's called Marilynne Robinson Makes the Book of Genesis New. And then she kind of talks about, the author of that piece talks about how in Marilynne Robinson's hands, scripture becomes this beautiful literary beacon that kind of sets the tone for other books that have been written, for works that have been written. So I'm very intrigued by this book, but I will also be honest that I have the ARC. I'm very excited, but this book is going to be a little bit more work than the fiction title I thought I was getting,
right.
if that makes sense. Like, I think this one will be absolutely worth my time, but the key there is time.
Yes.
and so I'm no longer approaching this book as, oh my gosh, I can't wait to sit down in my easy chair and like hunker down with Marilynne Robinson. This is more, okay, can't wait to like sit up with a pencil in my hand and right. read a chapter or two at a time. Uh-huh. I think this will be accessible. I have read the first couple of chapters, and I do think this is accessible, but it is more of, yeah, literary criticism, so which I really love, but it does take me more time and energy and attention than a work of fiction might. And so I just felt like I needed to set the record straight because I feel like I have been hinting towards this novel for a long time about how excited I was for it. But it's not a novel, everybody. It is nonfiction. And I think if you are somebody who is interested in literary critique, even if you are not a Christian, even if you're not somebody entirely familiar with the Book of Genesis, I do think she'll help you see the Book of Genesis through either new eyes, if you're somebody mm-hmm. who has read scripture over and over again, or if you're somebody unfamiliar with scripture, I think she might be a great professor to kind of guide you through that work. So Reading Genesis releases on March 12th. It is the new nonfiction work by Marilynne Robinson.
It sounds like one that, and like you said, instead of sitting down in one reading, it's to be savored, right? And
yes.
It might just take you longer. It might be just be something you leave on your nightstand and you get,
that's right.
get to it every once in a while.
Yes, take it. And that's how I've kind of approached it is I'm going to read this and I'm going to read it over the course of this year, but it might be in pieces, mm-hmm. parts, instead of devouring it all at once.
Well, I don't know. For anyone who's ever read Genesis, it's almost like a work of fiction in the sense yeah. that it is the wildest book of the Bible, I think. Yeah.
Yes, it really takes you all kinds of places. I was thinking about that today and I thought, well, who better to walk me through the chaos of Genesis, the beautiful chaos yes. of Genesis than Marilynne Robinson?
Absolutely. Couldn't think of anyone better. I look forward to reading that as well. Okay, my next book is called The Great Divide by Christina Enriquez. It comes out March 5th. It's out already. She does, if I told you, hey, this is a fictional book about the Panama Canal, like maybe that wouldn't sell you, but she does a masterful job of shedding light on the historical event of the digging and the building of the Panama Canal, which I knew almost zero about until this point. And so there's so many characters. It reminds me of a James McBride in that there are stories of characters that you fall in love with and you start to see how they interact. But at first, it just feels like a little bit of like okay, I'm finding out more about these people, and now I'm finding out more about these people. And you don't exactly see the connection yet, but it's coming, I promise. And very quickly, you don't have to wait too long. There's Francisco. He's a local fisherman. He has a contentious relationship with his son, Omar, who is choosing to go to work in the excavation zone of the Panama Canal versus working in his father's business of fishing. There's Ada, who comes to Panama from Barbados with the promise of finding a really good paying job so that she can send money back home for her sister who needs a life-saving surgery. There is John and Marion Oswald from the U.S. He's a scientist, and he gets invited to come to the Panama Canal to work in a scientific research station, and so his wife comes with him. She falls ill, and they hire Ada as her caretaker, and so their lives start to intersect there in kind of a beautiful but still sort of classist and contentious way. And there's a good bit of beautiful nature writing in this book. I wrote here, like, you can feel the humidity. You can feel the scent of the local flowers. She does a beautiful job of describing Panama, of where the people live, of the difference between Panama and places they've lived before. There's a dash of magical realism in the storyline of Francisco. So if you enjoy that, there's just a little hint of that, which I found to be delightful. What at the heart of this book is really the Panama Canal and how it cuts through the divide of classes, and it divides the haves from the have-nots. And you just see how important it was to the local people, and also on a grander scale, of course, for the world economy, how the Panama Canal was important. It feels epic, but the stories of the people themselves feel personal. It feels urgent. And it made me want to do a deep dive on the Panama Canal. So I say,
I love that.
I say success.
She did what she needed to do. She did a great job.
But honestly, I read this back in January, and I can still vividly remember the stories of the characters, the people, and their lives. So I really look forward to hand selling this one to online customers and in store. And I think it's going to do fantastic. So The Great Divide by Christina Enriquez.
This one gets Susie's stamp of approval as well. It's funny. She told me almost the exact same thing you said at the beginning, which I always whittle down for my parents their options. Like, I take them a stack of, like, here are some April options, here are some June options, or whatever, for their different shelf subscriptions. And my mom was like flipping through the books I'd given her, and she was like, ugh, the Panama Canal.
Right.
And then I asked her, like, you know, what she loved. And she was like, this book was so good. I was hooked. And I thought, oh, okay. Like, because I think that is something that most of us don't know other than what we were briefly taught in school. Like, we do not know really anything about the Panama Canal. But also, it's not like, and here's my own bias showing, it's not like the story of Amelia Earhart that has plagued me for generations. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I haven't stayed up at night wondering what happened to the Panama Canal. Like, so anyway, she just loved this book, and I am intrigued by it because I knew you had loved it. And I am curious, you know, when we think of historical fiction, or when I think of historical fiction, so often what I think about is a war novel. And the reality is that genre can hold so much more than that. And it sounds like this book highlights that.
Absolutely.
Okay, y'all, it's about to be March, or it's March. I mean, it's definitely March when you're listening to this. It's not March today, but it's going to be, which means March Madness, which is, it might be my favorite time of year, if I'm being real.
It brings you a lot of joy. I know it does.
It brings me so much joy, and the weather is nice here. Yes. Like, it's not too hot yet. I actually think March is a great time of year. I'm looking forward to Reader Retreat, but there is a new book coming out by Hanif Abdurraqib. He has written this book, There's Always This Year. It releases on March 26th. If you're not familiar with Hanif, he is a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. So, like, one of those people in this world who is a literal genius. And he has written two books, both of which I own. And I am sorry to say I have not read them, but I bought them on recommendation from fellow readers. So the first is They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us. And then the second is A Little Devil in America. And both kind of deal with historical pop culture, music. He really is a culture writer. And this is his book about basketball. And I'm so excited because maybe finally I'm going to read a Hanif Adoukhi book, because it is set kind of, he grew up in 1990s Ohio. And if you're familiar with the 90s, that was like peak NBA. like my brother was obsessed with the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, we watched the Orlando Magic because that was like the team closest to us. So Hanif grew up in Ohio, and therefore LeBron James really loomed large. That's where he played in high school and then ultimately went to the NBA at such a young age. I am going to download this audiobook because it's narrated by the author. So it's narrated by Hanif, and I listened to an excerpt and I was like, oh, I would love to hear him talk to me about basketball for however long. So I'm going to download the audiobook of this one. But my friend Kate, who used to work at the bookshelf, she picked up a copy of this at the American Booksellers Association's Winter Institute. She has nothing to say. She's actually the person who inspired me to buy his previous two books. And if you've never read him, you may want to start with his backlist. But I personally, because of my own selfish interests, I think I will start here because I think this will just be really fun to read while basketball is playing on my television and to get some, you know, insight into, yeah, what it was like to grow up when basketball was a big deal. And if you grew up in the Midwest, you know, how did his experience of the NBA and of college basketball, how did it differ from my own obsession or my brother's obsession? And so anyway, I'm very curious about this one. I'm super excited. It's got a great cover. It is on my most anticipated books of March. And I was like, when I pick this for the podcast, there may only be a niche group of people who want to read this book. But I'm here previewing it for those of us who love books and sports. Mm-hmm. And there are some of us. Yeah, there are some of us out here. So there's Always This Year by Hanif Adoukhi, out on March 26th. It's his new nonfiction book about culture and basketball.
I love the title. There's Always This Year. Like, it's what so a great good. Title.
It's so good. I love it. It makes
genius.
Me smile.
He's a genius. Yeah. So.
He's a genius. We expect no less.
My last book is Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle. It's coming out March 19th. Really, really loved her last book, One Italian Summer, that was set in like the Amalfi Coast. Man, did I ever want to go to Italy after I read that book? I was like, I need to go there right away. I don't know that I will, but it's okay. This book, when I read One Italian Summer, it took me by surprise because of how she incorporated a bit of time travel. And so I would call it a little bit of sci-fi, a little bit of time travel, which I did not expect, especially with a cover that has this gorgeous, like Italian, you know, seaside. You just don't expect time travel, but it was there and it was just masterfully used because it didn't feel cheesy at all. This book, it's the same thing. I actually read this one, although the audiobook is narrated by Julia Whalen, if that is a narrator that you love. I know some people do. She has done it again with this book. The premise of the book is that for most of her adult life, Daphne has received a slip of paper from the universe every time she begins dating someone. And on the slip of paper is the guy's name and the length that their relationship will last. So, you know, she may get a piece of paper that says Chris 2 weeks or, mm-hmm. you know, Robert 6 months. And so she already knows at the beginning of her relationship when they're going to break up. She doesn't know how, but she knows how long it will last. And so, as you can imagine, she's been through quite a lot of boyfriends and they've all ended. But the book opens because she has a blind date with someone named Jake. And before she even goes, she gets a slip of paper that only has his name. It doesn't have a date on it. So then she's kind of thrown into a bit of an existential crisis. Like, does she think he's, you know, the one because of how amazing he actually is? Because she does find him attractive and kind and thoughtful and all that. Or does the fact that there's no date on the slip of paper influence her to think he's the one? So, you know, as a reader, we're left to also ponder that along with her. And there's a little bit of a secret that Daphne has as well that she's keeping from Jake and she's keeping it from the readers. We don't find out until about halfway through the book. So it's just like One Italian Summer. There's a lot of scenes in this book that will kind of surprise you with how much they pull at your heartstrings. It is a romance. I don't know that I'd call it a rom-com, and it's not really a classic romance either. It defies the genre just a little bit, but she has funny best friends, of course, and you know, it will leave you kind of asking big questions about personal choice, about fate, about love. So I kind of just flew through it. It was such a great story. And it comes out March 19th, expiration dates.
It reminds me a little bit of The Measure and how popular The Measure was. And I did not read The Measure, but I think a couple people on staff did. Yeah. And we wound up like having staff conversations about like, would you want to know?
Yeah.
And it was shocking to me. The number of people were like, yes, absolutely. And I was like, no, I would never want to know. Like, and it's funny, even listening to you describe this premise, I'm like, I don't think I'd ever date. Yeah. I think I'd be like, well, forget this. Like,
the question, right? Is how do you keep someone and investing in them when you know 4 months from now, like you're right. going up? Like, it's so.
I would just feel like, what's the point of this? Oh, so that's, I mean, that really is, it kind of takes that genre that we're a little bit accustomed to, because The Measure isn't the only book that has addressed it. I feel like there was even another book fairly recently that took this idea of like knowing your end date, knowing the date that you might die.
Right.
And then I like that she kind of has flipped it on its head and turned it and kind of asked that question about relationships. It's really creative.
Yeah. It's like The Measure, but like about love, you know, and just about relationships. So it was so good.
Okay, well, that's really fun and exciting. So those are actually quite a few. I just realized all of mine were nonfiction. So thanks for bringing the fiction.
You're kind of on a nonfiction kick, I think, recently, and I like that.
Yeah, that is kind of fun. So there are the 6 books that we are kind of most looking forward to or most anticipating for the Book of March. As I said at the top of the episode, if any of these were appealing to you, you can find them all listed at bookshelfthomasville.com. Just go and type episode 467 into the search bar, and then don't forget to use code NEWRELEASEPLEASE at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your order. This week, What I Am Reading is brought to you by the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. Held in historic downtown Thomasville, the Rose Show and Festival is sponsored by the City of Thomasville and has been a Southwest Georgia tradition since 1922. Enjoy our rose and flower shows, live music, an artisan market, an antique car show, a parade, and fantastic shopping and dining in downtown Thomasville. This year's 103rd annual event is April 26th through 27th. Plan your visit at thomasvillega.com. Look, this is not going to be the last time you hear me talk about Rose Show and Festival. We talk about 2 main events in Thomasville each year. The first is Rose Show, which is in April, and then Victorian Christmas, which is in December. I love both of those events, but I am here to tell you that there is something really special about springtime in the South. If you are a Southerner, you know this. Maybe it's because it is our most fleeting season, like blink and you'll miss it. And yes, there are allergies involved inevitably, but the weather is beautiful, the blue sky. Rose Show is one of my favorite annual events because it happens to land smack dab in the middle of spring. And this year, it's like a perfect spring storm where it is the Rose Show and Festival with the City of Thomasville. It is Independent Bookstore Day at the Bookshelf, and it is Tallahassee's Word of South Music and Literature Festival. So if you have been waiting to come to the Bookshelf, to come visit Thomasville, this is the time. This is your time. You'll get the most bang for your buck by coming to Thomasville the weekend of April 26th and 27th. You can attend Rose Show and Festival. You can see us at the Bookshelf on Independent Bookstore Day. And then Sunday, when all of the Rose Show festivities are over, you can head over to Word of South in downtown Tallahassee. So a great weekend to plan to come visit our area. This week, I'm listening to Mostly What God Does by Savannah Guthrie. Erin, what are you reading?
This week, I am reading Table for Two by Amor Towles.
Oh my gosh, people just gasped in their cars. They are so jealous of you right now.
I am loving it. You will see it. Good. Just a spoiler, you're going to see it in the April new release rundown.
Okay, good. Thank you again to our sponsor, the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. From the Front Porch is a weekly podcast production of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in Thomasville, Georgia. You can follow The Bookshelf's daily happenings on Instagram at BookshelfTville, and all the books from today's episode can be purchased online through our store website, bookshelfthomasville.com. A full transcript of today's podcast episode can be found at FromTheFrontPorchPodcast.com. Special thanks to Studio D Podcast Production for production of From the Front Porch and for our theme music, which sets the perfect warm and friendly tone for our Thursday conversations. Our executive producers of today's episode are Cami Tidwell, Linda Lee Drost, Martha, Stephanie Dean, Ashley Farrell, Jennifer Bannerton,
Nicole Marcy,
Wendy Jenkins,
Susan Eulings.
Thank you all for your support of From the Front Porch. If you'd like to support From the Front Porch, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your input helps us make the show even better and helps us reach new listeners. All you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, look for From the Front Porch, scroll down until you see Write a Review, and tell us what you think. Or if you're so inclined, support us over on Patreon, where we have three levels of support. Each level has an amazing number of benefits like bonus content, access to live events, discounts, and giveaways. Just go to patreon.com/from the front porch. We're so grateful for you, and we look forward to meeting back here next week.